that there's three kinds of tongues. Number one is a personal prayer language. And let me straighten this out, because I have been saying baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. That is actually not right. The correct way that you would say that is baptism in or with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus, how many knows Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost? Remember, the Apostle John, he said, there's one, I'm not Apostle John, but John the Baptist, he said, there's one that comes after me that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, and we know who he was talking about, Jesus. So Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is the one that baptizes us into the body of Christ, according to Scripture. So actually the correct way to say that is baptism in or with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. And that would be a personal prayer language. Number two is ministry tongues. We know those are supposed to have an interpretation. And number three, tongues that's for a sign to unbelievers. We know that happened in Acts chapter 2, and then, 1 Corinthians 14 speaks of those kinds of tongues that's for a sign. I'm going to try to recap just a little bit to get us back maybe to where we was at. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, how that Jesus was telling them, he said, go wait in Jerusalem, he said, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So listen to me, when you get born again, you get the Holy Ghost. You get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three. Okay, but now this is a total separate experience, what I'm talking about this morning. This is the baptism in or with the Holy Ghost. This is where he comes upon you. In Acts chapter 2, we read that where it said there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind, remember? And it said, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, and there was cloven tongues of fire, and they all began to speak with other tongues. It's the Holy Ghost upon, right? According to Scripture. We read over there in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, all of those is ministry gifts in chapter 12. Tongues is in that. The gift of faith is in that. We know that the Bible says that every man has been given the measure of faith, right? Once we get born again, we have the measure of faith. But that's a different kind of faith there that he's talking about. Just like there's different kinds of tongues, that is a gift of faith. You don't have that all the time. You have faith all the time when you're born again, right? But you don't have that kind of faith all the time. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues, I don't have to have an inspiration to do that anymore. I can do that any time that I choose. But now if I'm going to give out a message in tongues in a service, or if I'm going to do tongues that is for a sign, I have to have an inspiration. Why? Because I can't turn that on and I can't turn that off. That's a ministry gift. You understand? Okay. So all of that there is ministry gifts, where he talks about gifts of healings and all that stuff. He told them over in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. I'm going to try to explain some of the things, because over there we read in the Bible in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, he started that chapter out. He says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Why would somebody say that? Why would they start a chapter like that? Lest there was gross ignorance. Now, ignorance don't mean you're stupid. Stupid is different. Ignorance just means there's things you don't know, or that you believe them wrong, or something like that, right? That can be changed. So, but he starts that chapter out, I would not have you be ignorant, brother. And I'm telling you, there is a lot of ignorance about what I'm talking about today in the body of Christ. A lot. There's a lot of wrong teaching, a lot of false doctrines, a lot of unbelief. Now, he told them there in Mark 16, 14 through 20, this is where he gave them the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel and all that. And he told them, he said, in my name you'll cast out devils. Have we stopped casting out devils? Has that been done away with? Okay. He said, in my name you'll cast out devils. Okay, we all agree we're still supposed to do that today. The next thing he says, you will speak with new tongues. Just lost some, I felt it. If casting out devils, if we're still supposed to be doing that, then we're still supposed to be speaking with new tongues, right? Okay, because see, we can't just rip parts of the Bible out that we don't like or we don't. Listen, some people don't want to do it because they don't want the persecution that comes along with it. When I first received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, I mean, I was thrilled. I have been praying for 3 months or longer for that and everything, and to speak in other tongues and everything. And so I would tell everybody, you know. And I mean, I haven't been saved, you know, a real long time, so I would tell everybody, you know. And then anytime we would be praying with anybody, I mean, I'm busting out tongues and I'm praying, you know. I'm praying. One time I told this girl had come over, and she had been a Christian, so she said, longer than me. But now she was of a certain denomination that actually was teaches against. And I didn't know and didn't think anything about it. And then I told her, she said, that stuff's of the devil. And turned around and walked off, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like, heartbroken. What do you mean? You tell me this stuff is of the devil. There's gross ignorance. And if I was the devil, I would do everything I could to make gross ignorance, unbelief, and everything else. Why? Because he's terrified. Because there is so many benefits. And the Bible says there in Mark 16, we're all supposed to be speaking with new tongues. And that don't mean you don't cuss no more. I can still cuss anytime I choose to. Right? He's talking about, you look that word tongues up, it says language. We'll speak with different languages. Languages you don't know. You wasn't taught or whatever. Then, trying to think, because I just got a whole bunch of scriptures here. Let's go to Acts 2. I know we've done read this, but I'm just going to read part of it because I want to make a point here, because we've already had a whole week of not talking about this. I'm sorry, it'll be Zach, Acts chapter 2. I've got wrote down 1 through 13, but let me find exactly what I'm going to read, because I'm not going to read all that. Yeah, I guess we will too. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 13. Now, I told you, and I'm going to back up what I told you with Scripture. There's one tongue that is a sign for unbelievers, right? This is what we're going to read here. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And this is where they had went in the upper room. Jesus told them over there in chapter 1. He said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Why? Because you don't have this kind of power when you get saved. You get this kind of power after you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He says here, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were, how many? All. Some people say there was around 120. I don't know for exactly sure. But it says all. Were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation, notice this, under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, this is a tongue that is for a sign. This does not have to have an interpretation. Why? They understand it. I don't understand it, but they would understand it. These people don't understand it. Why? Because they don't speak all these different languages of these people. Then it goes down and tells you, I don't know, 12, 15, 20 different languages of people that are here. But all these people are speaking in their languages that they know, but the speaker does not understand it. Why? Because they're all Galileans. They don't understand that. So this tongue is for a sign and does not have to have an interpretation. The hearer understands. Same thing, you can go over there. 1 Corinthians 14. Well, let me finish reading that. It says, and they were all amazed, verse 7, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They knew that they was. Verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue or language wherein we were born? So that tongue is for a sign. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. We should back things up by two or three scriptures, right? Exactly what verse in just a minute. I got to find it first. Zach. verse 20. He says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues," or translates languages, "and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not, but for them which believe." So there's two different scriptures, two different places that backs up. There is a tongue that is for a sign, and that does not have to have an interpretation because the hearer understands it. Okay? Any questions about that? Very good. What we just read was when it was noised abroad and the multitude came. You want to go back and read it again? Okay. Okay. But like, and we know why the 120 was there, or who, however many it was. They was there waiting on the power, waiting on the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, let's see where I want to go now. Zach told me, he said, Scotty's, he said, I can kind of understand when Scotty gives me his notebook where he's going. He said, but yours is just scripture. I don't know where you're going. I don't either. I just write down the verses. Let's see. Okay, so that's two. And there's more places, but I mean, I only have 45 minutes, so we got at least our two on that. Somebody might would say, and some people do say, well, I don't know what good them tongues are for. Right? Y'all ever heard that or ever thought that? Let's clear that up and find out what they're good for. Let's look in, well, since we're here in 1 Corinthians 14, go to verse 1. He says, follow after purity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, this whole chapter 14, if y'all did your homework like I asked you to, you went back and you read it, this whole 12, 13, 14, this is like one long letter. Chapter and verse is put in there for us to reference to. Y'all understand that? So chapter 12, he's talking about ministry gifts. Chapter 13, he's still talking about the same thing. Chapter 14, he's still talking about the same thing. And listen, and don't think that you have to be perfect or whatever, because these were some messed up Christians. That's what this whole 12, 13, and 14 is about, because they're so messed up. I mean, over there in chapter 3, they're in strife and division with each other. Y'all remember that? So they don't have these gifts in operation because they're perfect. If it was so, none of us would have a gift in operation, ever, because there's none of us perfect. But the devil lies to people, and other people too, you know, to tell you that stuff. Now, verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks to who? Not unto men, but unto God. It is a supernatural prayer language given to me that I, once I have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I do not ever have to have an inspiration come up in me again to speak in other tongues as a prayer language. He says, I don't speak to men with that language. Why? They don't understand it. He says, but I speak unto God with that language. Okay, so I'm speaking unto God. It's good to speak to God, right? For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. I've already said this before, but we'll say it again because I'm trying to explain these things very clearly so we can all understand. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, you go over to Romans chapter 8, and we're not going to take the time. Y'all can write these down, go study them for yourself. The Bible talks about how that the Holy Ghost helps our infirmities. That word infirmities means weaknesses. It's not a sickness or disease. How many of those things I don't know is a weakness to me and you? And there is so much that I don't know. I don't know the next second unless he tells me. So that supernatural prayer language given to me that I speak to God with, I speak in the Spirit mysteries, things my spirit knows, but my mind, because it's natural, does not. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit searches the heart and mind of God and finds out the plan of God and reveals things unto my spirit. And how many knows there has been times that, you would know, I told you, there's been times that I have actually been praying in other tongues, and I don't have a clue what I'm praying, and ask God for an interpretation and just get a sense of what I'm praying about. Just like I told y'all the story that I was praying one time for my mama about her grandkids, you know, because she was having a really hard time, and there was no inspiration of utterance whatsoever. It's what I can do in myself. I'm praying in unknown tongues, and I'm praying also in my understanding. And how many knows that you can only say God help so much? You know, you just, that's all you can say. But how many knows in other tongues you can pray things that you ain't got a clue what you're praying, but it's working. So I'm praying for my mama, and there's no utterance or inspiration whatsoever. And all of a sudden, I just feel to start praying for my ex-sister-in-law at the time. And I start praying for her, and I could tell, here come the Holy Ghost. In here, it began to just roll out of the inside of me. And I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And all of a sudden, I felt like in here, like a, they call them a skeleton key. Those old-timey door keys, you know, you put it in there and it looks like a skeleton. They call it a skeleton key. It was like somebody just put the key in and turned it. Well, that was like, I don't know, on a Monday or Tuesday, something like that. Get to church, and I hear her out in the parking lot telling Sandy how things had worked out. She's going to get to see her grandkids. Now, I wasn't the only one praying, but I had said, Lord, help mama all I know to say it. You know what I'm telling you? So that is, howbeit in the spirit, I speak mysteries. Whatever it was that I was praying for and about my sister-in-law, the key was put in there, I don't know, in my head, and it was unlocked. You understand? So that is two things that praying with other tongues is good for. Because I speak to God, the Bible says, and I speak mysteries in the spirit. Now, any questions about that? Listen, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, when he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Ghost came upon him. The church started with the Holy Ghost coming upon them and speaking in other tongues. And it has never been supposed to stop. One of the reasons why, if you go and you start doing some digging and some studying into this, one of the reasons why he is trying to straighten them out in chapter 14 about this is because they would get together and see, they've heard. Everybody's heard. You can go read the book of Acts. I just got through reading it again. Actually, I like a couple of chapters. I've been reading it over and over and over. Because it's like things I missed, you know, and I didn't see before, and it's like, you know, that's real good or whatever. But because this is how the church started. The church started with speaking in tongues that the hearer knew, but the speaker did not. So they're all getting together in a church service like this, and they're all speaking in other tongues and expecting other people to know what they're saying. And nobody knows. So it's causing a lot of chaos and confusion. And how many knows God is not into that at all? He's a God of order and of peace and safety, right? And understanding. So, I mean, you got the church starting out like that. People hear this stuff. In the book of Acts, I mean, they would come upon them. Peter, one place, he told them that he'd come across some new believers that had just been baptized. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? Y'all remember this story? Have you received the Holy Ghost now that you have believed? And they said, we ain't even heard that there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that story? Yeah, what'd they do? They took them, they rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. They was baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. This is how the church started. This is how the church is supposed to be all the way through. But because of gross ignorance, misunderstanding, and false teachings, it's not. Every believer is supposed to speak with other tongues as a supernatural, speaking to God, prayer language, in the spirit, speaking mysteries. I did not say everybody is supposed to have the ministry gift of speaking in other tongues. And I'll show you. Let's go over to chapter 12. Let's see what verse that is. Twelve 28 through 31, Zach. It says, verse 28, it says, and God, and now listen, we read this and we're not going to go back and read it. This is all ministry gifts, right? Faith, gifts of healings, discerning of spirits, all that stuff. Now this is the last part of it here, 28. And God has set some in the church. Do you hear that song? In the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Answer the question. Is everybody in the church an apostle? No, we know that. All right. Are all prophets? Is everybody in the church a prophet? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all the workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Ha ha! Got you. What I say this is? Ministry gifts of tongues. No, well, you do not all speak with ministry gifts of tongues. That's why he's saying, is everybody in the church an apostle? Well, we know there. There's fivefold ministry gifts, right? But everybody's not. So he says there, according to Scripture, he says, does everybody, do all speak with tongues? As a ministry gift, do all speak with tongues? No. Because then he says, do all interpret? No. I have never, ever heard a message given out in tongues in 20-something years, and have I ever interpreted? Nope. I've been standing there before, you know, and I thought, okay, God, you know, I'm open if you want to or whatever. No, never in 20-something years. I have never given out a message in other tongues, ever. But I pray in other tongues every day. Why? I do not have that ministry gift of interpretation. Listen, and it's not translation either. It says interpretation. What that means is you may hear somebody give what sounds like a paragraph in other tongues, and then somebody else give the interpretation, and it may sound like a sentence, and you'd be like, what? How's that possible? Because it's not a word-for-word translation. It is interpretation. You understand? It's not the same thing. If Johnny was to translate what I was saying, it would be maybe a little bit different of word for word because it would be English to Spanish or whatever, but interpretation sometimes may just be an impression of what the speaker is saying or kind of like a paraphrasing or something, okay? So everybody is not supposed to have the gift of tongues in a service. It's just not going to happen. All of these are as the Holy Spirit gives them and gives you utterance. Now, I think last time we left off, there was, if I was understanding the question right, because this is supposed to be, if you give out a message in other tongues, there's supposed to be an interpretation. Why? That way everybody's edified. Everybody gains an understanding, and everybody's edified. So if I'm understanding the question right of last time, are you supposed to know who the interpreters are? Is that the question y'all was asking me last time? Y'all don't even remember your own question? No. That's when I said to tell Monty it's none of your business. I didn't mean it, it's none of your business. But see, you can't get into carnal thinking with this stuff. Why? It's supernatural gifts. Okay, let me ask you a question. Cindy, you speak in tongues as a prayer language. May have done the other, I don't know. Okay, you've been at this church since it started. Tell me who the interpreters are in this church. You mean God ain't told you? Johnny? Now, you've not been here quite as long as some of the others. Do you know who the interpreters are? God didn't tell you either. See why I said none of your business. Your carnal mind will start working. I can't do this unless somebody walks in with a red flag saying, hey, I'm the interpreter. Go ahead. If God puts it on you, speak. I mean, really, are y'all understanding? But see, the carnality of the thing, when your mind starts getting involved, because you know the Scripture says there's supposed to be an interpreter. Now, I told y'all last time, I have only heard this done twice in this church. Somebody gave a message in other tongues, and one time Scotty interpreted it, and Danny says he is an interpreter. I have never. So, does that mean if Scotty or Danny is not here, God won't give me utterance? Why? Hey, you may go to a revival somewhere or something. No, nobody there. Now, Sandy's been in this church since it started. What? It started, what was it, 2001? This is 19 years, and she don't know who the interpreters are? And you think you're going to come in and know who the interpreters are? And she's been here for the whole time? Y'all getting real quiet. know why we're getting real quiet. Because we're learning and we're understanding. God is not going to tell me. Y'all remember whenever Peter spoke up and said, "What about him, Lord?" When Jesus is telling him all the things he's going to do and go through and different stuff like that. And he says, "Well, what about him? What did Jesus tell him?" None of your business. Me and Jesus talk a lot alike. Y'all think we don't, but we do. Right? Why would he say that? Because I'm talking to you about you. I'm not talking to you about them. That's why I said, when these things begin to operate, we're going to be very merciful here. You may have some that they may have an utterance. Or I would, better English to me would be an inspiration. Feeling inspired to speak in an unknown tongue in the service as a message or whatever. Don't let fear hold you back. Now, like I said, having the gift of tongues, and but speaking in other tongues as a prayer line, I can do that anytime. I don't have to be inspired. I could do it right now if I wanted to. But you will have an inspiration if it's to be done in a service. And how are you going to know if it has to have an interpretation or not? Because you don't know what tongue it's going to be. You don't know if it's going to be known to the hearer. Right? I explained, we read the scripture, two of them. There is a tongue that is for a sign for non-believers. How are you going to know it when you have an inspiration if it's going to be that kind of tongue that comes out? All of this is by faith, people. And when your head starts getting involved in it, things have to start being worked out and you have to know things. And when you have to know things, you're no longer going and living by faith or speaking by faith. And he's not going to allow that to happen. Because everything we do, our entire lives, is supposed to be by faith. So if I am feeling an inspiration, and it would have to be a great one for me to do it. I never have felt it. But if I was feeling an inspiration, I would give it out, and then I would just wait. Somebody might understand it. Johnny, I don't know, maybe there's more of y'all, Johnny, that speaks Spanish in here. I don't know. I only know the one language, English, or country English or whatever. I mean, if I was to give one, it might be in Spanish, and Johnny understand every word. I don't know what it's going to be because I don't know the language. You understand? They didn't know the day that they was baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues that everybody out there in all those different languages was going to understand what they were saying. I don't read where God told them. Okay, every one of them's going to understand y'all, but y'all were, see, this is how the church started. We have to rely on God. We have to trust him. We have to have understanding based upon the scriptures, but we have to exercise every bit of this by faith. And when you're by faith, he may tell you a step, a little baby step, but you got to take that one usually before you ever get the other one. So if you have an inspiration and you truly believe that it's God, you look inside and you truly believe that it's God, then give it out. Take that step of faith, give it out. If you missed it, we'll be very merciful. Why? Because we're growing and we're learning and developing, monkey. Now, so you're mixing two together. When you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Right? That's what you're talking about is when you're born again. Those verses. Okay, read it again.